some of the prophecies that you see here, some of the most awesome things that happened before the coming of the Lord. One of the most awesome prophecies in the Bible that had to happen before the Jews could come back as a nation, you know, there's all these scriptures that talk about the Jews coming back as a nation. The first thing that had to happen is the Jews had to be destroyed, okay? So otherwise it wouldn't be a big deal if they came back. So if you turn over to Luke in the New Testament, Luke 19, verse 41 through 44.
And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, for thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation.
In the Amplified Bible, it says, when Jesus wept over Jerusalem, Amplified Bible says this, it says, a time is coming when your enemies will throw up a bank with pointed stakes about you and will surround you and shut you in on every side. Jesus is over the Mount of Olives looking down at Jerusalem, and he's crying and he's talking about something that's going to happen 35 years in the future, where he says you're going to be totally surrounded, your enemies will surround you, they're going to have these posts and everything so you can't escape, you know, all the way around the city of Jerusalem. And this is something, again, that would happen in 35 years. Now, we know, you see a lot of these different movies, what are some with Ben-Hur or whatever, you know, the time of the Jews and Jerusalem during this time period. The hostilities that were going on in Judea lasted about 5 years between the Roman government and the Jews. That was going on when Jesus was alive, but he was talking about things that would end up, you know, I say about 35 years later with Jerusalem being surrounded. When you find out that, let's see, city by city the Romans had, piece by piece, slaughtered thousands and thousands of Jews. To make things worse, the Jews themselves were divided into three main groups. Now, as you see, there's, in Judea, the Romans, of course, are taking this all over, right? And there's a lot of Jews in the area, just like there's people in this room. Everyone has a different mindset. Do we cooperate with them? Should we fight them? You know what I'm saying? You've got different groups within a group of Jews. Inside of the group of Jews, you had a separate group of people that wanted peace. You had a large group of people that wanted, they were known as crooks and pirates. And then you had the Zealots. The Zealots are Jews that wanted to fight the Romans. So you've got all these different people. Thousands of innocent Jews were brutally beaten, raped, and murdered by their own people as a result of this. See, the Jews weren't just fighting the Romans, they were fighting each other during this time period. See, people hear about this. They hear about the destruction of Jerusalem, and they don't have a clue what was going on here for year after year after year with these people fighting each other, with these people fighting the Romans, and on it goes. Thousands of innocent Jews were brutally beaten, raped, and murdered by their own people. In 70 AD, under the command of the Roman general Titus, Jerusalem was surrounded, just like Jesus said it would be. Now, this is, Jesus was talking about 35 AD, right in there. 70 AD, Jerusalem was the last city that they had to take. They had taken all the other cities. They had surrounded Jerusalem, as Jesus said. Remember, he wept, and Jesus said there wouldn't be one stone left upon another, okay? He stood there and he wept a short time. They surrounded, within a short time of the city, the Jewish people were destroyed. History records the horrible things that happened. Now, when you hear about this, right, and you hear that they were destroyed, you think it was just a 1, 2, 3 thing. And if you read a history book, now this is where it gets interesting. You can take, there's a historian, Josephus, many people have heard of him. He's one of the early historians. You can read the accounts from Josephus as to what really happened. I'm going to give you a few quotes here of what really went on during that time period. See, as the Jews were in the city, you've got still in the city as they're surrounded, they had their chance to leave and they didn't take it. And a lot of the Jews who wanted to leave couldn't leave because the other Jews would say, I will kill you, you traitor. You know what I'm saying? There's pressure from the other Jews. So here they are in the city, over a million Jews, and the Romans surrounding it. Now they cut off the food, they cut off everything. Thousands of people in the city starved to death. People looking for food were crucified by the thousands. This is historic fact. As they would come out to try to get food at all, history records there wasn't enough trees left outside of Jerusalem to crucify anybody anymore. It wasn't enough people. There was not enough trees left. They were all taken. Jews, as far as the eye could see, were crucified. I mean, this is a historical fact, and you begin to see some of this. It's unbelievable. Altogether, 1,100,000 Jews were killed. When you see this little chart here, 1,100,000 Jews were killed in this besiegement of Jerusalem, okay? The remaining prisoners were sold into slavery and dispersed to the four corners of the earth, thus ending the nation of Israel, thus ending the Jews. Now today, you don't know any Amalekites. You don't know any Moabites. You don't know these peoples. These people, Canaanites, they were destroyed. The remnants of them went into a different group of people, you know, Egyptians or whatever. This was the end of the Jews. Totally destroyed. They went in, and I could get into it, and I'm not going to get into it. You find out historically that they went in, and they literally tore the stones down. Jesus said there wouldn't be one stone left upon another. When they went into some of these temples that were underlaid with gold, man, they literally knocked down every stone and picked the gold out between the rocks. I mean, this thing was leveled, just like the Lord said it would be. And again, no one took heed. You know what? This Bible study today is like what I taught lesson two about the ark. They mocked Noah for 120 years. And all of a sudden it started raining. And I'm here to tell you that God, this is a boat. God set it up in the New Testament again, this plan here, it's like a boat. We have an opportunity to get in this boat. And right now, I mean, I just feel like it's like God's getting ready to shut the door to the boat again. That's the day that we're living in right now. And I believe you'll hear me a little bit more by the time we're through with this Bible study. We're talking about signs of end times here. So here the Jews are destroyed. Now, let's take a look at, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 12.
And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth.
This is a prophecy saying, after the destroyed, God's going to bring them back. See, they had never been scattered to the four corners of the earth back there. Here's a prophecy this guy Isaiah is writing. Half the time, these guys never know what they're writing. He wrote it down. God said it. He said, God says, I'm going to bring them back from all four corners of the earth. Turn over to Jeremiah. Chapter 30 and verse 3.
For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it.
And if you look at Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 10.
Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock.
These scriptures tell us God is going to bring back Israel, right, as a nation. Now, I told you, we take it as it's no big deal. May 15th, 1948, under the Balfour Declaration, Israel became a nation again, okay? You want to talk about the Bible being true? You got to be an idiot not to recognize the Jews. The word Jew makes the whole thing, lock, stock, and barrel, true. True to prophecy, true to all the scriptures. Everybody said it couldn't happen. Here come the Jews, 1,900 years later, May 15, 1948. In the Bible, the nation of Israel is known as the fig tree, okay? In the New Testament, it tells us when the fig tree buds or comes back or blooms, right? It will be Earth's last generation. Well, you got a stopwatch here from God. When that country came back, it was the only nation on the face of the earth to be born again. They were born again, just like we as spiritual people have to be born again. When they came back, click, click, Earth's last generation. You don't believe it, you don't believe the Bible. We're talking about signs of end times. They were destroyed. Over 1,900 years later, everyone said it couldn't be. Remember Voltaire? Oh, the Bible's a bunch of baloney. It couldn't be. It couldn't be. The Jews had never came back. There weren't any Jews for 1,900 years. There were just a few of them scattered in different parts of the nation, and they kept their identity to themselves. They were basically destroyed. No other people kept on for 1,900 years and maintained an identity. No one. And they didn't keep an identity, as I told you. They lost their food, their clothing, everything. Miraculously, this is the hand of God. They came back. This is, to me, one of the most awesome, if not the most awesome prophecies in the Bible. Okay, so here you've got the Jews back. You know what? No one is ever going to take them Jews out. The Jews might be stupid, you know, the guys in the government offices, and then they might not be real spiritual. They might make a lot of mistakes, but I guarantee you that country of Israel will never, never be lost again. They're never going to be taken out of that land, lock, stock, and barrel. Turn over to Amos chapter number 9. In verse 14 and 15.
And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God.
Man, they ain't going nowhere. I don't care what CBS or 2020 got to say about it. They are going nowhere. And you know what? There's a lot of secular Jews making big mistakes, making deals with the Palestinians. There's all kinds of things that are happening today that are Bible prophecies being fulfilled in front of our faces. These guys signing this stuff. There's treaties in the Bible. This stuff. So 90% of this stuff is biblically prophesied what's happening, right? I guarantee you, They're not, and you talk about a debate and a fight for that city. We know the Antichrist is going to try. We know there's going to be a third temple built there, just like the Bible prophesied, on the Dome of the Rock, which is the Muslims' third most holy place. It's going to happen. I don't care through these eyes what it looks like. It's going to happen. We know the Antichrist is going to go in there and try to make himself to be God. All of a sudden, you see these things happening in front of your face. You got to be an ostrich and putting your head down in the ground to keep on ignoring what's going on. You know what? As I show you some of this stuff, you're going to say, that's a coincidence. God said when Israel comes back, that's a sign of end time, Earth's last generation. All right? Got news for you. We're already, what, that's 48, 58, 68, 78, 88, almost 98. We got 50 years have gone by. A generation many people think is 40 plus years. We're there. There is nothing in the Bible that needs to be fulfilled for the Lord to come back. Nothing. The gospel has been preached and is being preached all over. And the Bible says, then the Lord says, then will I return. It's done. It's done. All right, when you go over into the Old Testament, go back to Daniel chapter number 2. Now that's one of the signs there, Daniel chapter 2. And I want to read this here. Daniel has a dream back here. In 31 says, thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. The great image whose brightness was excellent before stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. That word terrible is awesome. He says, the image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, and his feet a part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till a stone. You know what the stone is in the Bible? A rock, the rock of our salvation. The stone and the rock are one and the same. It's God. I'm giving you, I'm tipping you off ahead of time here. He says, thou, you saw it. Now see, here's this image he's seen. He got the chart up here that shows you. He had this vision, this dream, and Daniel interpreted the dream and told him what he saw. All right, and he says, and thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, okay, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and broke into pieces. Then was the iron and clay and brass and silver and the gold broken to pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, and there was no place found of them. That's because it was destroyed. It's talking about being blown away. It says, no place found, for the storm that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth, okay? Now, I'm not going to interpret it. See, people say, well, that's the way you interpret it. I have told you from the beginning of this Bible study that prophecy of the Scripture is for any private interpretation. If there's something in here that people can interpret 15 different ways, I'm not going to touch it. All right? We're just going to go look at some simple things, and the Bible itself interprets it. So here he's got this dream or this vision, okay? It says, verse 36 there, you go down, it says, this is the dream. Isn't this tough? Here we got the guy telling us, this is the dream. So you can throw your interpretation out the window. What does the Bible say? Here's the dream, and here's the interpretation. Verse 37. Thou, O King, art King of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. All right, so here he's the king. That says, verse 38, whoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of heaven, he had given into thine hand, and he made you ruler over them all. Now look what it says. Thou art this head of gold. Is that easy enough? He's talking to the king of Babylon here, okay? Now, is it safe for me to say the head of gold, the Babylonian Empire? I mean, you know what the Bible says? You see, it's really interesting as you look at this image and you find out in the Bible, it gives the interpretation. It says the head of gold is Babylon. The next kingdom that comes after that is Medo-Persian Empire. The next one is Greece. The next one is the Roman Empire. It's funny that as you look in, not in the Bible, in history books, Babylon was a world empire. You know who Babylon was taken over by in the history books? Medo-Persia. Guess who Medo-Persia was taken over by? Greece. And Greece by the Roman Empire. Okay? You're probably wondering how this ties in. I'm going to show you how this ties in. We're talking about signs of end times. Okay? So anyways, at verse 39, he says, and after thee will arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and a third kingdom of brass shall rule over the earth, and a fourth kingdom. You see, these are kingdoms, right? It does say that. Okay, you're not going to have to remember all this. I just want to qualify what I'm about to tell you so you know I'm not just throwing baloney at you. The fourth kingdom shall be as iron, for as much as iron breaketh into pieces, it subdueth all things, and iron breaketh these, and it shall break in pieces and bruise. And whereas you saw the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it strength of iron, for as much as you saw iron mixed with clay. And the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so shall the kingdom be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, mingled themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one another. Jump down to verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Now, remember earlier we read where he said the stone, in the last chapter, when we first read it, he said the stone would come. And over here it's telling you the same thing. He says, in these days, verse 44, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Okay, and that's what we also read in the other chapter. And it's, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to the people, but it shall break in pieces and consume. Okay, real quickly turn over to Daniel chapter 7, and we'll see how this all fits here right now. Daniel chapter 7. Now here, this was the king Nebuchadnezzar's dream, right? Here you go a couple chapters later, and Daniel has a vision. In verse number 2, it says, Daniel spake and said, in my vision by night, and behold, four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And many people believe that to be the Mediterranean. The four beasts that came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Now this is really interesting. People say, oh, this is so hard and so deep to follow. No, it's not. Because the Bible is going to tell us in a minute, here's the interpretation of it. It makes it easy. Verse 4, first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings were plucked, and it was lifted from the earth and made stand upon the feet of a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. And behold, another beast, second, like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and had three ribs in its mouth, and between the teeth of it, and they said, arise, devour much flesh. And this I beheld, lo, another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a fowl, and a beast that had four heads, and dominion was given to it. And this I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth, and devoured to break into pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet, and was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. These four beasts that we just read are the same things that the king just saw, but now it's Daniel's having the same thing. You find a lot of times how scripture is interpreted in the exact same thing in light of other scripture. Here the king has a dream. Now Daniel has a vision. He's talking about four beasts. The other guy was talking about four kingdoms, remember? These four beasts are four kingdoms also. We find that in the Bible. Now look at verse 8. It says, verse 7 ended with, he saw the fourth kingdom and it had 10 horns. The other one said 10 toes, okay? Now it said in verse 8, he says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them a little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, the horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. You'll see this over and over in the Old Testament and the New. This man speaking great things. We're talking about the Antichrist, who's going to come out of the fourth kingdom. Chapter number 7, verse 17, look at this. Now this makes it easy for us. We're talking about these different beasts, right? What does it say in verse 17? These great beasts, which are four, are what?
Four
kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Okay? So everybody see that? We're on the same page. We know historically, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and he said, you are the head of gold. You go down, you find out there's the four kingdoms. All right? Now, Daniel had, it's interesting, and I'm not going to say this is factual, but when you look at chapter 7, listen to this. He says the first kingdom had, and in your handouts you have that. He said the first kingdom had, this guy described it as a head of gold. Daniel's vision, it says, the first was like a lion and it had eagle's wings. Okay? Babylonian Empire, you know what their emblem was? The lion with the wings. Right? And then he goes on, he says, and I hold another beast, the second beast was like a bear. The bear with the ribs in its mouth, it talked about. The bear is the emblem of the Medo-Persian people. And it destroyed the Babylonian people by ripping out three of their borders. Historical fact. It goes on to say the next beast was a beast like a leopard that had four heads. Alexander the Great conquered the world. The leopard is the fastest animal known in Asia, right? Alexander the Great conquered the known world faster than anybody. By the age of 33, he conquered the world. When he died, it said he had four heads. This leopard did. When Alexander the Great died, historical fact, he gave his kingdom to his four generals who ruled his four different divisions. Call it a coincidence. Call it whatever you want, you know. The Bible's in harmony, believe me. You find out, why am I going through all this? Well, it talks about a fourth kingdom. Now watch this. Let's go back here to chapter 7. Okay, now listen to this. Chapter 7, verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms. It shall devour the whole earth. You know which kingdom this is? Rome. All roads lead to Rome. You read about Roman history, I think most of us know by the films we've seen, the Roman Empire was the most bloodthirsty empire ever. They treaded everything down underfoot, and that's what some of the scriptures said too. You got these four things. Now watch this. The fourth beast shall be upon the fourth kingdom, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms. It shall devour the whole earth, and it shall tread it down, and shall break it into pieces. Here we go. Point that I'm trying to make. Verse 24, the 10 horns, we read that a couple times too, remember? 10 horns of the kingdoms are 10 kings. Everybody see that? The 10 horns, he said, are 10 kings. What do kings rule? A kingdom. All right? And here you got these four empires, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and the Roman Empire. Now, what does he say? He says, this is not talking about the fourth empire. What does he say? In verse 23, he says, the fourth shall be different. And then it goes, verse 24, it says, the 10 horns out of this kingdom. You see that? From the fourth, from the Roman Empire, it says, are 10 kings that shall arise. Everybody see that? Now, this did not happen back here at this time Daniel was alive. He was prophesying something in the future. He says, 10 kingdoms will arise, and there shall arise after them, and shall be different from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Now, look at verse 25 again. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and to wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. He shall speak great words against the Most High. Who's this guy again? Antichrist. You find that out in Scripture over and over this week and next week. This is the Antichrist. Now, where is he coming from? He's coming out of this 10-nation confederacy. It says right here that will exist. It's not happening yet, but it will happen. Okay. Turn all this with me over to Revelation chapter number 13 in verse 5.
And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months.
Okay, also read chapter 17 and verse 12.
And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast.
Do you remember in Daniel said that he talked about these four kingdoms? One of them was there, Babylon. But he prophesied about the other kingdoms that would come. He wasn't alive for this, right? He started saying what was going to happen, and it happened. And he also said from the Roman Empire will come these 10 kingdoms, he said. Now we're over here reading something out of Revelation. This is John wrote this. You know when this is written? It's 80, 90 AD. Jesus is dead and gone. And what does he say there? In verse 12, he says, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings. Daniel saw the same thing, didn't he? Okay, but watch carefully. He said, which have received, what does it say?
No
kingdom. People say this prophecy was fulfilled years ago. This never happened up until 90 AD. And we know from 90 AD, the first century, up until the day we live in, that there was no unification of 10 nations that came out of the Roman Empire. When did that happen? European common market. It's there today. In 1979, Greece signed on as the 10th nation of the European common market. And the Bible tells us the Antichrist is going to come out of there. Oh, it's a coincidence. Okay, ostrich, put your head back in the sand. Keep ignoring this. We're talking about signs of end times, okay? There will be the last world empire is going to come out of the old Roman Empire. We have a revised Roman Empire today. I can show you articles that would just floor you even now. Europe sees the signs on for Parliament and unity. Mr. Europe leads the way. I mean, you got all these guys doing just what the Bible said was going to happen. You know, can anyone in this room deny the existence of the European common market?
No.
Isn't that a coincidence that Daniel prophesied that? What a lucky guess, huh? When Jesus was alone at Mount Olive with his disciples, let's turn over to Matthew 24 and 3. The disciples asked Jesus 3 very important questions.
And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?
Pretty reasonable questions, right? Pretty reasonable questions. Okay, let's also read down verse 4 through 8 and see what the Lord says in response.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows.
Here's the key. They came to him, right? And privately, it said, verse 3, privately, and they said, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming? And what will be the sign of the end of the world, right? And Jesus, people say you can't know. Oh, you can know. Jesus goes on with a list of stuff, just like he's given us the list today. You want to know when I'm coming? And he goes on, he lists all his stuff off. And the key, he says in verse 8, he says, all these things, all of these are the beginning of sorrows, okay? And it's important that you know what that means. What do you mean, the sorrows? That word there, taken right from the Greek, is pangs. meaning contractions. When a woman has a kid, as the contractions become more, listen to me, like I experientially I can tell you, when the contractions happen faster and faster and faster, you know that the birth is nearer and nearer and nearer. Jesus said these are the beginning of pangs. When you see all these things happen, it's the beginning of contractions. When you see all this stuff happen, the birth, the new birth, the new world, my return is very, very near. And so what happens is through time, people say, idiots come up to me, oh, there's always been earthquakes. These bozos don't know what they're talking about. There's always been this, they say. There's always been this. Everything Jesus said in this account here and in several other accounts has gone off the scales in epidemic proportion. One of example is earthquakes. From the observatory in Strasbourg, France, in the last 3 years, there has been more earthquakes recorded, or 4 years, than in the history of all mankind. Okay? If you begin to research earthquakes, you will freak out and go want to tell people about this sign and what's really happening with earthquakes. Nothing like it. You know, I mean, I'm going to read a little about it. But everything that the Lord said has just gone right off the top of the charts. I mean, it's happening like epidemic proportion, or rapid fire is the word I was looking for. Read Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24.
For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
See, don't follow the signs and wonders. We're talking about that a little bit last week, too, with the guy at Liberace suit on, going to heal people. You don't follow the signs and wonders. You follow God. He says here again, false prophets. Read verse 11.
And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many.
Today, there's over 250 denominations in the United States alone. False teachers, counterfeit Christs are popping up everywhere. Sun, Young, Moon, the Moonies claim that Christ has already come. On Sally, Jesse, Raphael, I was in one of my accounts, it's a bar, restaurant, and I go in there, and this is quite a few years ago, I almost fell over. I'm trying to get the order from this lady, and I hear this the interview behind me, and the lady says, Jesus number two. Can you tell me what? I said, what? Here's Jesus number one, Jesus number two, and Jesus number three. They're interviewing different Jesuses, you know, about, yeah, it was unreal. I'm going, what is going on here? And if some old lady in the audience said to this guy, Jesus number two, she said, if you believe it and this is your book, what are you doing divorced? And all of them started clapping. I thought, yeah, lady, give it to him, you know. Right. But you want to talk about stupid, Jesus number one. He said, many will come in my name saying I am the Christ. The first thing come out of his mouth. You know, we know religion today, religiosity, Christology, all this stuff, it's puke, it's ridiculous, it's so watered down, people don't have a clue about the one true and living God, what this Bible says, the things that are supposed to be happening in the church service. And then when they start to happen, they want to mock it and say it's ridiculous, it's demonic. We're living in a real world, buddy. That's the stuff that's crazy, you know? Amen. That's right. How about Jim Jones? You ever hear of Jim Jones?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he claimed to be the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. Later, actually, he claimed that he was God and that he created the heavens and the earth because the people that were following him didn't know any better. I mean, he had a good story. I mean, he was very persuasive, very charismatic. But you know what they did? They didn't know the book at all. He added so much. He took away so much. See, people put their faith here. They'll be okay. Jesus said, the words that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day. Right? Jesus is the one that said, repent and be baptized in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ. This is his book. You know, had these people known it, they'd be alive today. 900 people commit mass suicide. Many will come in my name, saying, I am the Lord. According to Billy Graham, there's at least 500 counterfeit Christs in California alone. And a guy from Waco, Texas, as they mentioned here, from an article in March 15, 1993, it says, David Koresh says, if the Bible is true, he says, I am Christ. So, again, there you've got it. And Jesus said, if you look at Matthew 24, verse 6 and 7, he goes on to say, he said, you'll hear wars and rumors of wars, okay? There's always been war. See, you get these guys that you'll talk to, these clowns that go, there's always been earthquakes, there's always been wars, right? They don't want to listen to you. And if they'll listen to me, I can start talking to them. I can say, hey, let me talk to you for a few minutes about wars, right? Warfare is the most highly developed science that we have. It is the number one developed science that we have. Until 1914, there was no such thing known as international war. It was unheard of, right? Now it's everywhere. Since the beginning of the 19th century, over 100 million people, see, those numbers just fly over our heads. 100 million people have died in wars. Wars are soon going to max out, believe me, because there's a war coming called the Battle of Armageddon where it'll reach its climax, okay? And it's interesting that this has all happened in the last 100 years. Sure, there's always been wars, there's always been these kind of things, but there's never been the devastation. Remember Jesus said, you'll see these things happen rapid fire, contractions, birth pangs, he said. Okay, from March 16, 1990, magazine under Time magazine headline under the world section of the Middle East reads: Time magazine stumbling towards Armageddon. Time's got it right. They're right. Right now, instead of asking how many nations are involved in war, try to ask yourself how many nations aren't involved in some type of war. You see, think about it. And you can see, you can take that and you can say, well, that's no big deal. And you know what? You've got to really, really got to have a lot of faith to ignore everything, every single one of these. Think about that. Almost every country is involved in some type of border skirmish, some type of war. I mean, how much greater can it get? You'll see wars, rumors of wars escalate. Okay? He said there will be famines, Matthew 24 and 7. Did you know that the most common cause of death in our world today is starvation? Okay? You know what comes along with starvation? Or from famines is starvation, right? And along, you know what comes from all that stuff? Comes pestilences. And he said there would be pestilences too. According to the World Health Organization, one third of the world is well fed, one third of the world is underfed, and one third of the world is starving to death. Okay? Famines will continue happening. Rapid fire, the Lord said. According to the World Health Organization, listen to this. Jesus said these would be signs of our times. He got really lucky with this guest too. He got just so lucky. 30 people, World Health Organization, 30 people die of starvation every minute. 1,800 people die from starvation every hour. As we have this class today, 1,900 people are dead. Let that sink for a second. World Health Organization figured. See, let's go have a cheeseburger. 1,900 of them will die as we teach this class today. 43,200 people die of starvation. See, you don't believe me right now. As we teach this class, 1,800, 1,900 people are dead from starvation. Jesus, I mean, what do we need more than that to convince us? 5,850 years it took man to get to a billion, right? 5,850. Then, from 1850 to 1980, we've got over 5 billion. In such a tiny period, you know, 130 years, we add on 4 billion and it takes us almost 6,000 years to get the first billion. You can't even grasp that. So many people and so much less food, and this continues to happen. Pestilences, the Lord said in 24 and 7. What does a pestilence mean? See, a lot of us hear that, we got an idea that's like a sickness or something, we're not sure. What does a pestilence mean? Well, according to Webster's Ninth Dictionary, it's a contagious or infectious epidemic. Now check out this description. It's a contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is devastating and virulent. Virulent, if you're like me, I didn't know what that one meant either. Virulent means something that is extremely poisonous, rapid and severe, and it's able to overcome the body's immune or defense system. AIDS, by definition, is a pestilence. Now, the Lord said, there's going to be this hunger. I don't know how it can get too much worse. It's happening, though, all the time, okay? You see, I mean, 1,900 people dying every hour of starvation. I don't know how bad it's got to be for you to think it's bad. That's unbelievable. Okay, now he says there's going to be pestilences. All right? Pestilences. Infectious serious diseases can be caused by such things as water, pollution, air pollution, sexually transmitted diseases because of famines, human waste not being properly disposed of, just to name a few. And you know, the stories in the Bible or things in the Bible talk about men with sores on their body and stuff like that and skin cancers. And a lot of people tie that into, you know, the ozone layer being destroyed, and they call it from the greenhouse effect and all that. And I'm not a scientist, but I totally believe it. I was on our plane ride back. I got a magazine here and a Time magazine. It's incredible. I don't buy this stuff no more. I bought these for several years and I used the stuff for my Bible studies. And you can pick one up any single day of the week, and I guarantee there's an article that ties into this. Any single day of the week. But in here, there's an article that talks about a huge piece of iceberg that broke off in Antarctica. Okay, are you guys read it? I was really amused by that because they said it couldn't be done. And they quoted a man in there 15 years ago who said, global warming, and no, you'll see the signs begin in Antarctica, he said. So you get an idea of this. It's the size of, like, Luxembourg that broke off. And that's not supposed to happen for, you know, billions of years or whatever. It snapped off and it's floating around somewhere out there. It's 23 miles by 19 miles long, you know, talking about global warming. Well, you can call it whatever you want. It's happening. See, there's another article, and I'll get to it in a minute, where on Newsweek, on the cover of Newsweek, it says, is Mother Nature going berserk? No, these are signs of the times. The Bible says you'll hear it in the sun, in the waves, in the waters. I mean, everything's upside down. Freezing in Florida. I mean, it's unbelievable what's happening. Do you think that this is all just another coincidence? I mean, the Lord just got lucky with his guesses and what's going on today? Pollutions, disasters happening more and more. Remember pangs, contractions, faster and faster. Turn over to Luke chapter 21, verse 25 and 26.
And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken.
That's where you come in that article where it says, is Mother Nature going berserk? Parts of America, from this article, it says, have been frozen, shaken, sunk, flooded, parts exploded. Recently, experts are trying to predict where and when the next such catastrophe will happen and to understand why. They don't have to try to understand why and where it will. All they've got to understand is the Lord is coming and get right. And that's what they need to do. But you look at California. You know what's going on with the continued disasters, the continued problems. It's to the place where we're numb to it. You can pick up a paper and read another catastrophe, another catastrophe, another catastrophe. He said that men's hearts would be failing them. Heart attack is the number one killer in our world. Just a coincidence? He also said there would be perplexity of nations, stress. It's there, you know. Luke 21 and 28 is the scripture that says, when these things begin to come to pass, the Lord says, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh when you see all these things. Have these things begun to happen, what Jesus said? Unbelievable. They're, like I said, they're going right off the graph. In Matthew 24 and 7, Jesus said earthquakes would be a sign. And again, some say that earthquakes have always been. The whole world is shaking. And you know what's funny? When the Lord was on that cross and that hill, boy, I'll tell you what, it was shaking. And when he's getting ready to come back, and it is shaking. It's interesting, Lee Stone King preached a message, and he said that Holiday Inn was going to build a hotel near the Mount of Olives, right? And they didn't. Holiday Inn people didn't build it. And he had proof, and he had references on this tape. I don't have it with me. But he talked about Holiday Inn was going to build it, and they decided not to because they said there was a vault there that was going to split and could split any time. And it's interesting, that's the place Jesus is going to come back. And the Bible says that when he sets his feet there, in Zechariah, it says it's going to split one part from the other. And here's Holiday Inn saying, yeah, we're not going to build here. Looks like it's getting ready to give way, you know. There's something about this stuff, you know. But anyways, you can find that. I mean, the earthquakes are literally, you know, going off, like I said, in the epidemic proportions as well. Turn over to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4.
But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased.
4,000 years ago, man traveled in a chariot. Okay? Up to 100 years ago, they traveled the same way. Okay, and I hope you all get this. 4,000 years ago was a chariot. Up to 100 years ago, it was the same way. Okay? Automobiles, electricity, telephones, airplanes, computers, stereos, all this stuff just came in the last 100 years. All the modern technology that we have all happened in the last 100 years. Now, Daniel's talking about knowledge is going to increase prior to the Lord's coming, right? Did you know that 70% of all medicine used today was developed after World War II? 70% of all the medicine that's out there is developed after World War II. 80% of all scientists who ever lived are alive today. 80%. According to the Los Angeles Bible Research Society, from the days of the flood to the year 1800, 4,100 years, man's knowledge doubled once. You know, doubled once. From 1800 to 1900, it doubled again in 100 years. Today, knowledge is doubling every 2.5 years. It's a sign of the end times. Knowledge increasing. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5.
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God.
Dangerous times shall come. They're here. Are you kidding me? When I was a kid, I remember we throw mud balls at cars and stuff and we run, you know. Today, today, if somebody did something to my car, you know, I would run as a kid when I threw mud balls at the car because I was afraid to get I'd get my butt kicked. You know, today if they throw mud balls at my car and I get out and yell, they'll kill me. 14, 13, 12 year old kids will kill me. Well, yeah, I mean, this is true. You know, carjackings, give me a break. Dangerous times are here. Men, lovers of themselves, selfishness, are you kidding me? Proud, it's an epidemic in our country. Disobedient to parents, the family is destroyed right now. They say that in the inner city, that out of 10 houses, 8 of them, the kids are totally brought up, young men, by themselves. There was an article, we listened to something in Florida, of a man that wanted to go back and raise his kid. He was on drugs and stuff, he got straight. And in me, I'm going, amen, the guy's doing good, give him the chance. But you know what? He didn't have any fathering skills at all. And that's the reason the court held back. And see, what I'm trying to say is today you talk about the children and stuff. Who's bringing up kids? Themselves. The TV, whatever. You know, it's unbelievable. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. Unholy, unthankful, without natural affliction. People don't even regard life today. Not even life. Hot-tempered, despises those that are good, lovers of pleasures more than those are lovers of God. Pleasure is our number one industry. Pursuit of pleasure has become the United States, according to U.S. News and World Report, a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. There's a lot of that out there, too. Different denominational, oh, that doesn't happen, my child. Don't tell me that doesn't happen, Buster. Perilous times. The Bible says perilous times will come. And again, we are exposed to this all the time, so you know what? It doesn't mean nothing to us. We're numb. Let me try to unnumb you for a minute. A nation founded on godly principles now wants to get God out of everything, little by little. You can't even take a Bible to a public school. We had a lady that over in Cudahy, she wanted her son wanted to do a report. They had to do a report. She wanted to do her son wanted to do a report on Genesis, and they would not let her. They would not let him do the report on Genesis. He had to take something else. You can go into the library and you get a book on how to sacrifice a cat to Lucifer, and you can do a report on that. But you cannot do a report on anything that's biblical. Honolulu, when a drug user comes in, drops a dirty needle in a plastic bucket, they, boom, give them the clean ones. Jesus said in the last days will be perilous times. Families are being destroyed by the thousands. Divorce rate is up over 60% now. High schools have been turned into armed battlefields. 12-year-old girls are getting pregnant. Murder and violence is never seen before. You going to deny that there's no reason to be alert or perilous times are here? Jesus said that it would be like it was in the days of Noah and like it was in the days of Lot, if you remember those other scriptures. Turn to Luke chapter 17, verse 26 through 30.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
Like it was in the days of Noah, like it was in the days of Lot. He destroyed that city. They tried to rape his own angels. You remember that? Genesis 19, where they said, bring those men out that we can have sex with them, that we can rape them. Tried raping God's own angels. People think when I start talking about homosexuality that I'm bashing homosexuals or picking on homosexuals. God hates all sin. God don't hate the homosexual more than he does the drunk. He hates all of it, right? He loves the sinner and he hates the sin. The point isn't why I'm talking about homosexuality. The point is it's a sign of the coming of the Lord that homosexuality is accepted. Okay, according to the Bible, there's no way. If you look at the Bible, you find out that it's funny because you see some of these guys with the signs and that talking about it's biblical. God made me this way. I got news for you. God didn't make you that way. That's like me going up and shooting you in the head and saying, hey, God made me a murderer. You know, that's idiotic. God didn't make you that way. Yeah, absolutely. God hates homosexuality. I'm going to read something to you. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22 and 23. He says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. It is disgusting in God's eyes. He said, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lay down. It is sin. That's Leviticus 18, 22 and 23. Leviticus 20 and 13 says this. He says, if a man also lieth with a mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. It's disgusting to God. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Okay? If you turn to Romans in the New Testament, chapter 1, it says this, verse 24. Wherefore God, some people say, oh, that's Old Testament, that's the law. Oh, no, it isn't. God, I'll tell you what, you better repent and get right quick, because you and never. The Bible says an effeminate, a homosexual will never, will not inherit the kingdom of God, neither will a drunkard or an adulterer. You will not. And it goes on to say, such were some of you. You can repent and get out of that, but you are not going to go, you're not going to make it. He says, verse 24, he says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseeming, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was due. It says you're going to get the error for what was due. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither a fornicator, adulterer, nor abusers, nor an effeminate. That's a homosexual. It's translated right there. A homosexual will not inherit the kingdom of God. Things that God in this country once hated in this country are now being promoted. He said it would be like it was in the days of Noah. In Genesis chapter 6 and 11 and verse 13, both of them said violence. Violence has never been like it is now. By the age of 16, the average child has witnessed over 200,000 acts of violence. From every child, from the Child Welfare League of America, U.S. News and World Report reports this. Since 1981, child abuse is up 80%. Child sexual abuse is up 277%. Fatalities from abuse is up 36%. Federal funding to help stop the problem is down 10%. We can be fined $1,000 for destroying an eagle's egg. From the Chicago Tribune, a man in Laredo, Texas was fined $15,000 for killing a whooping crane. But listen to this. He's $15,000 for killing a whooping crane. Every 3 minutes, a baby's aborted. 180 babies are aborted every hour. 4,300 babies are aborted every single day. One out of three babies that are ever conceived are aborted. That literally makes a mother's womb the most unsafe place in America. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Just so you know, the second coming of the Lord cannot be overemphasized. It's mentioned one out of every 30 verses in the Bible. In the New Testament, it is talked about in every one of the 27 books of the New Testament, except for four. For every one verse that mentions Jesus' first coming, there are eight that mention the second coming. Not talking about coming back to the earth here. I'm talking about coming for his church. For all the scriptures we found that said that the Lord would come, there are eight talking about a second coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 through 18.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
This is the next event on the prophetic calendar, right there. He says in verse 15, we say by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain of the coming Lord, there are going to be a group of people that are alive when Jesus comes back. And I believe that people in this room, many of us, are going to be alive when he comes back. I don't believe this is Earth's last generation from the Bible. So we've all got as great a time. I want to be in that. Man, I want, can you imagine that song, I want to be in that number? This is what I want to be in. It says here, it says that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep or have died. There's people that are dead in the grave. They're going to go first. It says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Now watch, he doesn't come back to the earth here. It just says the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall what?
Rise.
They go up. And then what happens to us? Then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up. See, he's not coming back. It's not the second coming of the Lord where he sets up his kingdom here. He is coming right now. It's called the judgment of the righteous. He is taking his bride, people who have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, out of this earth, and he's taking them to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's a thing for it. It's going to go on for 7 years before the Lord actually comes back. But you see here, this is called the rapture. And now notice what it says. People say, well, if you're raptured out of here, would you going to ever have to stand before the judgment seat of God, the right throne judgment? Absolutely not. If you get taken out here, look at the verse 18 says, or verse 17 at the end, it says, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we what?
Ever
be with the Lord. I'm telling you, you get taken out here, you're going to be with God forever. All right? Another scripture in Philippians 3 and 21 tells us about the bodies that we'll have. It says that, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Remember the Lord walked through the walls and that? It says this mortal will put on immortality. We're going to be changed. You know, I don't even think we have to read all this. The thing that's important is you got to remember, Romans 8 and 11 says,
but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
If the spirit of Christ that dwelled in Jesus dwells in you, it says if, then he can take you. This is your petrol, gasoline. You got to have the Holy Ghost. Oh, I don't know if I can get it. Oh, shut up, devil. It's for everybody. God's dying to give it to you. Don't ever believe that puke. Yeah, you just got to say, God, you said it. I want it. God's going to give it to you. If the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he will quicken or change you. You know, a lot of people get into this. Well, I think we're going to have to be here for a while and get slapped around and go through great tribulation. I got news for you. You don't know your Bible. Because if you know your Bible, people talk about the rapture being in the middle of the tribulation when this big bad stuff comes next week, or in the end of it, or before. I guarantee you, his bride is going first. There's scriptures in the Bible that say, pray that you're considered worthy to escape the stuff that's going to come. He loves his church. He's not going to slap his bride around and carry her through the mud. He's taking her out of here. Trust me. God takes his people out first. Look at the scriptures.